Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/farbeyondmetal. There you'll find over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Now on to the show. Folks, and welcome to episode 48 of the Far Beyond Metal podcast. I'm your host and guide on this metal journey, Daniel Cordova. In this episode, Sarah Longfield discusses her first band, and I recommend the Australian progressive quartet, Genetic. Before that, I welcome back one of the boys from Allegion. This time I'm talking with vocalist Riley McShane. Riley is fairly new to the band, having fronted the band on the last album, Proponent for Sentience, and the soon-to-be-released Apoptosis. In our chat, we talk about bearding, balding, bass players, Summer Slaughter, the new album, and more. Riley is also the vocalist of Son of Aurelius and Continuum, so we touch on those bands as well. Before my chat with Riley, here's some of Extremophile's B from Allegion's new album, Apoptosis.
Hello,
this is Riley.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Doing well, how are you?
I'm doing well, how are you?
Doing well, how are you? Sorry, caught in a loop now.
Right. Oh, man. Sorry, I'm let me step outside here real quick, and then we can get started.
Sure.
Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for being on Far Beyond Metal.
Yeah.
I had Greg on for the last album cycle, and we had a good time. Nice to talk to you now.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Let me know when you're feeling comfy, cozy on your
end. Oh, I'm all good.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
Ready to go.
So I'll go ahead and just dive right in. First off, a question you may be getting a lot of. Apoptosis? Apoptosis?
So it's funny. It depends on which part of the world you're from. It's one of those things like how in America you say tinnitus, but in England they say tinnitus.
I didn't know that.
It's one of those things. So in American English, it's apoptosis or apoptosis, and then in England, it's apoptosis. So you know, just like our band name, you can kind of just say it however you want.
When Greg was on, he told me the story about the Allegiance to Allegion transformation, yeah. Which I know was before your time with the band, but I'm sure you now inherited that weight of the name Allegion.
One of my favorite things is like just listening to how, like, if there's a local support band on the tour that we're doing or at a show that we're playing, you know what I mean? Like just hearing them be like, "Oh, you guys excited for, you know, fuck, you guys excited for Whitechapel? You guys excited for Cattle Decapitation? What about Goat Whore? Hell yeah. Are you guys excited for,
What's the favorite one you've heard of that was actually like coherent sounds?
Dude, I really like it when people do the, when people just call us Allegiance still, or when people are like, Allegiant, like the airline is pretty good, like adding letters that aren't there. I also like, Allegion. Allegion is one of my favorite ones. Allegion, also pretty good. There's so many.
when I was a college DJ, I was playing the first few albums on my show before ever hearing the name out loud, and I was calling it Allegaon, which I realized became a sort of meme within the band later.
It totally
is. If you emphasize gay.
That one's near and dear to our heart for the people that just call us Al's gay son. That's definitely a favorite.
And I'm assuming from lazy Googling I've done that it's another very sciencey album, as all the albums have been. But the last album straight up had a song about the scientific method. Why are you guys such nerds?
You know, I can't help it, man. I just, you know, it makes sense, doesn't it? Like, most of the kids that, like, get bullied for being, like, nerds end up being, like, full of angst and, you know, pent up rage, and then they become metalheads. So it's like, it's really just kind of a natural progression.
And what has you so angry? Where's your pent up rage from? Let's get real.
My pent up rage is just from waking up and breathing the air on this planet every day. we're all just kind of interested in that field, you know what I mean? Like, I went to college for science based stuff. I went to college for chemistry, and I think I'm actually the only one in the band that did do that, but they're all still interested in science and scientific theories. And it's, you know, it Greg put it really well in an interview we did not so long ago, where he was just like, you know, it you never run out of source material, you know what I mean? There's always amazing developments and super cool shit going on in the field of science, you know, and you don't end up being in like a I think the example he used was like, you know, we're never going to be like Deicide being like, yeah, this is our 18th record and we are still singing about Satan. Like, and then he quickly followed it up with, I love Deicide though.
Yeah, with like no shade thrown at your label mates, Amon or Moth. There's a podcast where one of the characters is named one of them, and I'm getting them mixed up in my head. Anyway, you know the band I mean.
Yeah.
They've done a dozen Viking records, and that's impressive, but also how.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, that, you know, that's, it's a rich, and it's very rich period of history. You know, there's lots of stuff to go around, but 12 records worth? Man, I don't know. I think that there's definitely some obligatory, you know, we are mighty Vikings, power of Valhalla kind of shit going on in their lyrical content. But you know what? It works for them, so more power to those Viking boys.
How often do you get to put on your lab coat and correct the guys if they're writing some lyrics or something?
Oh, dude, I Greg has completely given up writing lyrics.
Is it all you now?
It's all me now. He used to have a hand in the lyric writing process, but he actually was like, dude, I'm so stoked because I really want to focus on writing music for this record, so I'm literally just leaving all the lyrics to you. I don't even want you to hit me up to be like, hey, what do you think about this? Like, I don't care. Just do your thing. So that made me excited to have some creative liberty.
And this is your second album with the band. Was the first album more of a collaborative thing, or was it still just all great?
Yeah. So I joined the band like kind of halfway through the album cycle. So Greg had actually already written quite a few lyrics for the songs. Like, he wrote the lyrics for all of the first verses and the choruses for the Proponent Sonata. That was kind of like his baby and his concept, you know what I mean? And then he wrote the hook for All Hail Science, which is, you know, only a few words, but still nice and catchy. It was kind of his vision as well. So, you know, he'd already written some stuff for sure. And I'm unsure if Ezra had written anything, but if he did, I don't think I took over any of that. But yeah, Greg had a good handful of lyrics written by the time I jumped in. So, but you know, songs like From Nothing and Mind of Matrix, Demons of an Intricate Design, Cognitive Computations, that was all me, baby.
and you've kept in the theme of having difficult to pronounce song titles and things you can't really just offhandedly throw out. So when you're on stage, do you ever mumble on it and just kind of go into a growl to cover yourself?
Nah, I mean, you know, sometimes it depends on how much I've had to drink before going on stage. I practice a lot, try to make sure that, you know, clarity in my vocals is something that, like, I really pride myself on, even though that might not be super apparent in some of the sections on these newer singles because I'm doing like big squealy growly shit. But you know, I want a huge, you know, every time someone has listened to one of the bands that I've been involved in basically for like my whole life has been oh yeah, I love it, but I can't understand what the fuck you're saying. So I've always tried to, make it so that it's like, even if you just glance at the lyrics, you can be like, oh, that's what he's saying, and it follows along and all that kind of stuff. But you know, it hasn't been until recently with a couple parts on this new Legion record and lots of parts on my last Continuum record that I'm like, man, just being growly has its place too, I guess.
With Legion, like when you came in, it was the first time I think that like clean vocals were used. Did you push for that, or did that just sort of like a natural evolution that was already in progress?
No, so that is, it was a natural evolution for sure, but that's something that Greg has wanted in Allegiance since day one. Even songs on the EP, like Nex of Terra, he said was originally supposed to have a clean vocal section, but that's just not really in Ezra's wheelhouse, you know what I mean? So when, they parted ways with him, he really wanted to find someone who, had those kinds of vocal chops, and he's a big fan of the work that I did with Son of Aurelius, which has tons of that in there. But I was a little shell-shocked after the Son of Aurelius release, because we took such a hard left turn into that style that, like, the fans were pissed. So when Greg was like, oh, hey, like, we start doing clean vocals, I was like, not on your fucking life, bro. Like, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
and so, we kind of formulated a way to, introduce the idea without it being too jarring, doing guest vocal spots and doing, like Rush covers and stuff, like things that introduce the idea of clean singing without putting too much of it in like the original songs. So that, on the next album, which is now this album, people wouldn't be too shook when they hear the clean vocals. It's like something that they've been introduced to, and now we can kind of start experimenting with it in our songwriting. So wasn't really my idea, but I'm happy to oblige because cool. I love singing.
On the last album, there was a lot more of this, but I've noticed maybe one post about it this time. Why less of Dave Otero's head?
Dave is such a smart guy. When we first started it, he was like, oh, I hate this. But now he like owns it, and it's like if you're a bully at school, like, and the kid that you're picking on like has no reaction, like the fun gets drained right out of it. So now he like owns it, and he's like an admin on the page, and he posts from the back of Dave Otero's head page. It's like, man, this was fun when you hated it.
The new album opens up with some rather technical bass playing. Was that kind of a conscious thing to introduce Michael to the band?
Absolutely. Brandon,
my last name, Michael, right?
Last name, Michael. It's really funny because when he joined, we were like, oh, like we have a Brandon and we have a Michael. Like, what the fuck do we call you? and we eventually just settled on Boo Boo Money. Sometimes Boo Boo Muffin. But mostly Boo Boo Money. Originally it was Big BM, but I thought that was too mean. but yeah, it was intentional. The way Greg phrases it is he's like, when Slayer got that one drummer and they started the album off with the drum solo, like that's what we wanted to do, except with bass. And so what they ended up doing, so we had a song in place originally, but it was like really mellow and like very like low energy, super pretty melodic stuff. We just felt that wasn't like the strongest way to start the record. So when we were on tour in Europe, Greg and Boo Boo took off for a little while in Poland and just kind of like hashed out the details for that song and got it all started up. And now you have Parthenogenesis. So,
and how is
definitely intentional.
How has bringing him into the band changed how the entire process works, or is it really much different?
I mean, he's such an easy dude to work with, and he's got such a good creative mind, that like it's been a pretty seamless transition. And it has added such a dynamic level of depth to the music as well, that it's, we're so stoked that even if there were any problems, we probably wouldn't notice.
who now has the best hair in the band?
Me. Because it's just my beautiful, slicked shining skull.
as a future bald myself, I appreciate that.
Yes, see? You know, you got to hold it down for the bald crew. if I had to pick, you know, I'd still say Michael. You know, the other guys have nice hair. It's long, you know. But long hair, it's just long hair. You know what I mean? Like, Michael goes out of his way to look fashionable. And I appreciate his choice in hairstyles.
As a present bald, did you ever have long hair? Did you live the dream? Nah, same.
I did live the dream. I had long hair. Shit, it was real long. I had long hair on my first tour ever with Son of Aurelius in 2010. And then I had shaved it for our next tour in 2011. And then I grew it back and had long hair in like 2013, 2014. And then I got over it and shaved it all off again.
Now, are you a bald by choice or are you losing your hair?
I am a bald by choice, although I do have, so I'm not, I don't have like male pattern baldness. Like I don't have like the bald like crown of my head, like slowly creeping up on the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have always had a receding hairline, like since I was like hit puberty basically. So I've got that like widow's peak Vegeta looking shit going on. And,
people with a widow's peak to pull, Vegeta. Love it.
Yeah, of course. it's the most legendary widow's peak. How can you be that tough and have a fucking widow's peak, bro? Come on.
He's definitely compensating with all that grunting and glowing.
Fucking proud Saiyan. I've got like a receding hairline up on the front, but I think it stopped receding when I was like 16, and now it just is perpetually like that. So,
well, you're one of the lucky ones where it stopped for now. Now,
yeah, I guess a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. We'll see how the years treat my widow's peak.
That was some of A History Denied by Continuum. Riley is also their frontman. To hear more of them, head to uniqueleadersrecords.bandcamp.com/album/designated obsolescence. Or just Google Continuum Bandcamp. Quick announcement over here at Far Beyond Metal. I'm having my very first live show over at the Stab Theater in Sacramento. I'll have all the details shortly. Keep an eye on Far Beyond Metal's Facebook page and Instagram account and all that good stuff for the official announcement. But June 2nd, 5 p.m., if you are in Sacramento, you now have plans. Far Beyond Metal Live. Deets to be announced. Now, quick word from our sponsor. For you, the listeners of Far Beyond Metal, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I've already been listening to the book I Am the Man, The Story of That Guy from Anthrax by Scott Ian. He dives deep into the nitty-gritty of the band, and it's just really great to hear his voice reading it. And he's got some stories to tell. He's got a whole nother book of them, which is also over on Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/farbeyondmetal. Again, that's audibletrial.com/farbeyondmetal for your free audiobook. I'll have more with Riley in a moment. However, right now, this is My First Band. Every musician has to start somewhere, and in this episode, Sarah Longfield discusses her musical origins.
Ooh, we had a few, I was like, I think 11 or 12, and I think our first band name was like Rabid Abbey, and we started as kind of a punk band. And then my second band name when I was 13 was called A Dissonant Aria, and we were like punk prog. As much as a 13-year-old, you know, band can be punk prog.
Those words don't normally go together. How was punk prog?
So I was like super like prog and shred influenced, and my other guitar player was super into punk. So we just kind of smashed them together. Yep.
Are there recordings of either of these bands?
Oh, I've been looking. We used to have a MySpace, you know, way back when, but I think it got deleted, and now you can't hear the, like, if you go to try to click the old sounds or the old songs that people uploaded. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think we have it anymore.
Could you listen to it without cringing now?
I don't know. I'm like super intrigued to hear it. I remember like getting really interested in how to record things and I had no idea. So I used like a headset mic and like attached it to my amp. And then like I was using that one program, that one Sony program where you have to like, it's like a mastering program. And all you can do if you want to record is just layer things on top of each other. So I would like hit the hi-hat and then record it with the headphone mic and then hit the snare and record it with the headphone mic and the kick and like just keep layering everybody's parts.
That sounds like so much work for a MySpace band. But
it was, yep.
Well, good for you for making that effort.
Thanks.
Sarah Longfield is heading out on tour this spring with Felix Martin. For dates and details, head to sarahshreds.bandcamp.com and facebook.com/sarah.longfield.music. Now here's more of Riley's work, Allegion, with the song Interphase/Meiosis from Allegion's Apoptosis.
I feel like I know the answer to this next thing, but because I follow Greg, he and I are friends on Facebook. How was Summer Slaughter last year? Yep. Okay, cool. That's what I thought.
We'll just go with not great and leave it at that.
Yeah, I was at the Sacramento show and I was able to catch you guys and I was there maybe, I don't know, half hour late, 45 minutes later than I intended to be from doors. Didn't realize I'd missed like 2-3 bands. It was pretty rough, but I enjoyed your set.
Well, thank you.
Yes. The first few stops on that tour had your vocals being covered by Chaney. Chaney, I've never actually heard her name out loud.
Yes.
Did you provide her any sort of coaching or anything for her to cover for you? Was it just like, here are the lyrics, go?
Nah, I just gave her the lyrics. And you know, I was like, feel free if you have any questions. But she's such a competent vocalist. She's like one of the best in the game. So I felt very... very confident in her abilities to make it happen.
Cool. I imagine your recent European tour went much better than recent Summer Slaughter tour. How was your European run?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was super busy because it was 23 shows straight, no days off. So it was just, you know, go, 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 go. But it was awesome. And the dudes in Obscura were so, so chill and so accommodating. And then, you know, we've known the dudes in Fallujah for a while and it was good hanging out with them. And the dudes in First Fragment were also just like the nicest guys. I mean, they're Canadian. What do you expect? but yeah, no, everybody got along really, really well. And the music was amazing. And, you know, sometimes it's weird being on tour with Allegion because, you know, we're mostly like a melodic death metal band, right? But it kind of like goes different places here and there. You know what I mean? Like we have got some kind of like breakdowny deathcore-ish sounding parts in some of our songs and, you know, we've got some pretty techie parts and shit. So it's hard sometimes for us to find like a tour package where we're not like the sore thumb, you know what I mean? And, you know, being on tour with Obscura, Fallujah and First Fragment, like all bands that are just like super guitar centric, shreddy kind of bands was super cool getting to pander to that fan base.
I'm very jealous of that lineup.
It was a good one.
Like I've seen the band in some pretty cool packages, but that one, I'm like, God, damn it, why isn't that over here? But like,
dude, I am like freaking out over the lineup that we're going to Australia with in May with Nail of Scaris again, Caligula's Horse, Beyond Creation, and Rivers of Nile, and us. Dude, I'm like so hyped on that tour. It's gonna be so much fun.
Can you talk to Tim and the guys and get that over here? I'll give you upwards of $25.
I will do my best. I'll be like, hey, man, there's $25 at stake here. Mm-hmm. You know, don't make a bad business decision.
Tell them it's 25 American and see if that does anything. I don't know the exchange rate, but maybe
Crikey, that's like 40 here.
Man, I've talked to Tim. He's the sweetest dude. But
He's such a nice guy. We get along great with those guys. I mean, hence why we've toured with them going on 3 times now.
Yeah. So when you were on your European tour, you said there were no days off. Did you have any chance to be touristy at all, or have you really?
We had a little bit of time in Porto, in Portugal, and that was amazing, super beautiful city. And then I had a little bit of time in Milan to kind of break off from the package and do my own thing for a little bit. So a couple spots where we had a few hours to spare, but mostly no.
I imagine on the Australian run, because there's so much space in between cities, you'll be able to enjoy the, I don't know, great or brown sands.
I mean, I don't know. I think the travel arrangements on that one are also going to be pretty brutal, because we're flying from show to show since, like you said, there's so much space between the cities. So it's going to basically be like, you know, fly in, hotel, venue, airport, hotel, venue, airport, rinse and repeat for 4 shows and then fly back home.
Damn.
So we'll see. I'm gonna get one of those goddamn koala pictures though, if it fucking kills me.
Oh dude, they're riddled with chlamydia. You're gonna catch something bad,
dude. You know, it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, what
with specifically from a koala?
Don't judge me.
Dirty. So who's the big Rush fan?
Me and Greg, I think. I mean, everybody likes them, but I think, I mean, that decision was primarily a me and Greg.
You've done a couple Rush covers now. What's the next Rush cover you're going to be doing?
So we recorded those at the same time, and I really didn't like that idea, personally. I was like, why the fuck would we record 2 covers of 2 songs from the same band? Like, we're not a Rush cover band. This is stupid. But I was outvoted in the democracy that is Allegiant, and it turned out good. You know,
yeah. I like
people.
Them. I think
people
really
like
cool.
Both of them, but I guess to answer your question, nothing. We will never ever cover another Rush song because we have already covered 2, and that is 1 too many, in my opinion. So,
who was it? Some like the guy from Death Cab for Cutie covered all of some other band's album, and I thought that was so crazy. But yeah, that's doesn't seem like your bag. Maybe if you guys cover Death Cab for Cutie, though.
I'd be down to cover a Death Cab song. Do some fucking metal version of Soul Meets Body.
Oh, that'd be great.
Some, you know, get some real angry, I'll follow you into the dark.
I feel like a Legion version would be, I would lead you into the dark instead of I would follow
you. Just take like the sweetest, saddest sounding song and then just make it super mad. That sounds good to me.
I feel like that guy is full of rage, but he can't get it out any other way. So he just kind of dances to emo songs, and it's wonderful.
His channels it into sadness.
So you're dropping 2 albums this year. How are you such a busy guy? How you do it?
You know, man, I never have time for anything. I'm literally fielding this interview while I am getting ready for a wedding right now. I am in my friend's backyard. While the rest of the bride tribe that I'm a part of is like getting pretty in the room behind me.
Oh,
so,
man, I feel kind of bad.
I,
I got married last year.
I don't
I know
have
that...
time. I don't know why I do this to myself. I wake up stressed out every morning.
Damn. Like, I got married last year, and I know the responsibilities that you might be ignoring right now. So I feel terrible, but go set up those arrangements, I guess.
Hey, man, you know, they will live. And they'll be fine. The bride is here, and you know, she knows I've got work to do. And if she doesn't, I'll just yell at her. I'll just be like, "I know it's your wedding day, but fuck you!" And she'll, you know, she'll cry, and I'll laugh, and that'll be great.
And that'll be your speech.
And that'll be my speech. That'll be like, you wonderful. Know, yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. Enjoy the rest of this wedding that you're attending. And I'm assuming, are you doing more press around this?
Yeah, totally. I'm going to be fielding interviews all day.
Nice. Well, good luck with that. And, you know, have a good rest of your day, sir.
Yeah, dude. Thank you so much for having me, man. Good talking.
Yeah, no problem. Bye.
See ya.
Allegiant's fifth album, Apoptosis, or Apoptosis, drops April 19th via Metal Blade Records. The album is incredible. I'm not just saying that because he's on my show. I fucking love Allegiant. For more on the band and to pick up the record, head to allegiant.bandcamp.com, and to keep up with the band, go to facebook.com/allegiant. Now, to close out the show, I'm going to recommend the progressive rock band Genetics. Genetics are an Australian outfit that include elements of post-rock, jazz, and more into their metal sound. The band are going to release their album Cynosure in May, and from that album, here's Episteme in its entirety. Genetic cynosure, or cynosure, or kinosure, C-Y-N-O-S-U-R-E, will drop May 17th. For more on the band, head to facebook.com/geneticsbandaus and geneticsband.bandcamp.com, where you can pre-order cynosure. Cynosure? I'm not sure. Anyway, if you'd like to talk to me, you may do so by emailing farbeyondmetaldan@gmail.com. I am on Twitter at @_farbeyondmetal, and my personal account is Ovacord. The show is on Facebook at facebook.com/farbeyondmetal and on Instagram at farbeyondmetalpod. And as always, the theme song is Far Beyond Metal by the band Strapping Young Lad from their album The New Black, courtesy of Century Media Records and Devin Townsend himself. Thank you for listening.
A Catbox production.